College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is so good to see so many people at the fair. Hey, fair people, how y'all doing? Oh my gosh, hey everybody. Okay, y'all gotta clap a wave and say, ooh, so that my boss will know I'm really at the state fair and I'm not like in my bedroom pretending that I'm broadcasting from the state fair. It is so good to see everybody here. It is the Shaletta Show. We are on the porch. This was on my bucket list, y'all. I wish I could tell y'all how blessed I feel. The first year I was at the fair, I was locked up in here. And I had some free Shaletta signs. I was pretending like it was jail. And so I had like a free Shaletta t-shirt and I had free Shaletta signs and I was harassing people because I didn't want to be back here producing. I wanted to be on the porch with Mike Max and Chad Hartman and Adam Carter. And so all the guests that came up, I was like, take a picture with me and hold up this free Shaletta sign. And so the next year, my bosses were so embarrassed that they went ahead and let me get on the porch and I never went back in the booth. I'm so excited about that. This is what happens when you pressure people and you're annoying and you get on their nerves. Every now and again, you get what you pray for. And I'm so glad to be on the porch, hanging out with y'all, having all these amazing guests, courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline when they are on the phone. And most of the folks are here live and in person with me, like Colette Campbell, the Chief Talent Acquisition and Diversity Officer at Bremer Bank. Colette, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for inviting us to be here, Shaletta. I have some gifts for you.
You have some gifts. I got treats. I love treats.
So
treats
I have some fun. Some sunglasses, some Bremer sunglasses, and we've got seeds at our booth. We've got a bee mix, a basil sweet Italian, and a butterfly mix. That if you come to our booth, which is on Dan Patch Avenue under Underwood Street, you too can get that gift. But thank you, Shaletta, for having us here.
Okay, I saw Bremer before I even got to the fair because y'all got a big billboard. So when you're stuck in traffic trying to get here, you're looking at it for 35 or 40 minutes. And then when you get here, you have a booth. Now, what is in the Bremer booth for folks who are at the fair and they're passing by or folks who are on the way and maybe listening? And they're like, why are we talking to Bremer Bank? What do they got going on at the fair? They got money on the stick. What's going on at the Bremer Bank booth?
You know, that is a great idea for a giveaway, but I don't think it's going to happen anytime. That's a great idea.
Okay.
So we have been the proud sponsor of the fair since 2003. And in 2019, we unveiled our grain gazebo, which is over by the agricultural horticultural building. And it's just a few blocks here from the WCCO radio. So it's a nod to our status as one of the largest ag lenders in the nation. And we're also a sponsor of the ag horticultural building.
Now, you all do so much with farmers. You know, I've talked routinely on this show about my friends in Cottage Grove, the Tank family. They have a seed and feed corn farm. They also do soybean. And I check in with them because there's been a drought the past couple of years and they struggle. And just to know that we have a bank that is there for our farmers, it means so much because, you know, farmers are proud people. They don't want to ask for help. They will struggle through it. And I don't want to see anybody lose their farm or lose their land because the crop didn't come in.
Yeah, neither do we. And so that is what one of our commitments is, to always be working partners as partners with our customers, and particularly in our ag community.
Yeah. And you know, you all do such a good job with businesses. And I have to say, I remember when I started my podcasting network, ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com, I remember going to the bank and saying, I want to get a business checking account. And they were like, oh, what's your EIN number? And I said, what is that? I don't know what that is. I just have a business. I didn't know I needed to go to the federal folks and get a number. I'm trying to get all kind of tax charges against me, girl. I didn't know I needed any of this stuff. And it was my banker who said you got to go to the federal government and get a tax ID number. You have to register with the Secretary of State. And then when you have those documents, you can bring those to the bank and then you can open up a business checking account. That is just some basic information that I should have known but didn't. And having those lenders, because Bremer is a community bank, having those lenders there to help with business owners who are creative, who want to start something new but don't have that knowledge and information, you all are there to give it to us.
Yes, yeah, and we're proud of that. We're proud of wherever your business is at, whether you're starting a business or you're trying to grow your business. And of course, from the small businesses to the biggest type of businesses, we're your partner. I think that's what makes us a little bit unique in this marketplace, is that we're small enough to give you the kind of service and community service, the customer service that you want, but we're big enough to compete with the big boys and the big dogs. So we're happy about that.
And, you know, I'm working a lot with other small business owners just in a grassroots way. I don't belong to any organizations. I don't have any kind of foundation or nonprofit. And we're just trying to help each other one-on-one, individually and then collectively as a larger group of just small business owners all trying to help one another succeed. And, you know, we always talk about building generational wealth. That's the name. That's the everybody's catchphrase. I want to build generational wealth. I want to build generational wealth. Well, how do you do that as a small business owner? You know, I can go out and work hard and make money but how do I leave that for my kids? I don't want my kids to be out here struggling if something happens to me. I want to be able to build up wealth so that if something happens to me, or, you know, I want to pass it on to my kids so that they don't have to start at -5 like I did.
Yeah. You know, I think the topic of generational wealth is a very big topic. And I think it starts one step at a time of how do you even understand. So you talked about having a small business. One of the things that we're really committed to at Bremer Bank, you know, a lot of people put out even those equity statements and after 2022 and the killing of George Floyd. And how do we accelerate wealth in the Black community and minority communities? But some of it starts with how do we even understand kind of those building blocks to wealth. And so we offer a number of even classes within our communities that talk about wealth building so that you can have wealth and then have and build generational wealth.
And I have to say, when we start talking about George Floyd and the unrest that happened after his killing, I never thought that businesses would come back to the community, the ones who were burned down. I never thought that we would see a bank come back to the community. And Bremer Bank was one of the first to open after our city burned. And I was at the opening, and I stood in the back of the room and I cried. Because not only did you open a bank, but you opened a community center. You have rooms in there where people can come and have meetings. You're having classes in there for community folks who want to start a business and who want to learn about building wealth and, you know, having that information passed down from generation to generation. Just being there and hearing that commitment. Because, you know, a lot of people put out news releases. Listen. After George Floyd died, about what they were going to do and how committed they were. And when you start asking for receipts, you know, some of those companies didn't have anything to show for it. But to be in that room without anybody prodding or threatening or challenging or calling you out, you had already done the work. Your whole entire team was there. And just to be there in that space, it gave me chills.
Mm. Well, you know, we in 2021, we were in the Midway neighborhood.
Yeah.
And that was one of the neighborhoods that was really affected by damage. And we were one of the first businesses to kind of come back and build a bank that was better than we had before. And on Lake Street in 2022.
Yeah.
And I think just this idea of how do you reinvest and how do you continue to invest for the sustainability? We've got some folks here. I've got one of my colleagues in the executive team.
Hey, colleagues.
And Brittany here. But, you know, it was not only the executive commitment to this work, but the ongoing commitment. And it's a part of our mission of cultivating thriving communities. And so we took this really seriously.
Yeah, y'all
did. We are a part of cultivating thriving communities. everybody in the community needs to thrive.
Yeah.
And it's not easy.
No,
it's
not easy.
But we've made a commitment not only in saying in words, but in dollars. We joined partnership with the Center for Economic Inclusion. It's our second year. And our first year, we didn't score as great as I wish we would have. And that was okay, because you need to know where you are to know where you need to go. And this work is something that is very, very important to us.
And I know it is important to you. We're going to talk more with Colette Campbell from Bremer Bank, because she don't even know sometimes she be talking and I be in the back of the room just looking. And I know she was so shocked. Hey, you better come over here, boy. You better come over here and hug me. I don't want to hear nothing about that. That's Devin. Oh, my God, it's Devin. This is what happens at the fair, y'all. People just pass by and interrupt the interview, and we got to love. Hold on, you got to say hi. It's Devin. Remember little Devin? You remember little Devin?
I just want to say hi and give you a hug.
How are you? Beautiful.
I just have to tell you, little Devin and our producers together, and then he was my producer. How's your mama doing? I love your mama. She's good. Please tell your mama. I know she loves me. I know. You tell her I said, hey. What about that little girl? Y'all still dating? You ain't got married to that girl yet?
No.
No? What you waiting on?
It's up to her.
You gave her a ring and she said no? You tell me, she said no. Did you give her a ring?
No.
Okay, so you didn't give her a ring?
No, I proposed to her.
You wait, stop. Hold on. You proposed to the girl with no ring? No wonder she said no. You proposed to her without a ring at Sonic.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? We're going to take a break, because I'm going to fight him right now. Go on to commercial so I can get this felony record. Go on to commercial. I tell you, the promises have come to pass and the faithfulness is unwavering. Colette Campbell, the Chief Talent Acquisition and Diversity Officer over at Bremer Bank. I'm telling you, I'm an absolute stalker. I admit it. I stalks people. I'm just sometimes in the back of the room looking. And she was at the Follow Your Dreams Career Fair and College Expo, and she was inspiring and empowering Minneapolis public school children. There were several hundred there, at least 300 or 400, and it was just amazing to watch her walk up and down those aisles and touch those kids and encourage and engage them. And that's just part of the work that she does and the mission that she carries out with the folks at Bremer Bank. Colette, did you know I was in the room? I wrote a whole spokesman record a news story about that. I don't know if you saw it. I took a picture, wrote a whole story. Aww. I said, she ain't even gonna know I'm in the room.
Thank you. Well, that was the inaugural event that they did. So it was John Baker and a couple other individuals that put together this event for Minneapolis Public Schools. It was the most attentive, engaged group of young people I have been around in a long time. And, you know, my own story of, I never imagined in my wildest dreams that I would be working as an executive in financial services. I didn't see anybody that looked like me doing this when I was young or when I was thinking about. And so to be able to be in a room and remind these young people that their future is bright and they have to expand their thinking and possibilities because there's a lot there for them. That is an honor that I get to do that. I'm very, very blessed.
I am so, hold on. Sweet Martha just passed by. Fanshawe, did you get Sweet Martha? The lady in the yellow shirt, go run. She going to the bathroom. Just go stand outside the bathroom. And I'm for real. Like, she going to the bathroom. She got a yellow shirt on. She headed to the bathroom.
Well, you have to hear about her dreams.
Pull Sweet Martha out the bathroom and bring her up here when she's done. Oh. Sweet Martha just went to the bathroom. Sweet Martha just went to the bathroom. She got a yellow shirt on. She probably using the restroom. As soon as she finished washing her hands, bring her over here to the booth, please. Thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you, girl. All right, you can go.
Yellow shirt and what else?
She got a yellow shirt on. You know what she look like? I just said she on the cover of the Star Tribune.
No, I don't live here.
I just sent you an article. Look on your phone. Look at her picture.
I don't have any connection.
You don't have any connection. Get to the bathroom before she finished using it. And bring me Sweet Martha. I want to talk to her. The woman made $4.5 million in 10 days. That's somebody I need to hear from.
We all need to hear.
Hello. From. Hello. Hello.
And does she need a bank?
Baby.
I think we are her bank here, actually, so that's okay.
But, you know, we're talking about those examples.
Yes.
And you're right. You know, it's so important for us to see who we want to be. And you can't be it if you can't see it.
Is that
why you're always out here talking to and encouraging and inspiring and empowering these kids?
I am, because, you know, it's, again, when you get to be in these spaces, there's certain things. I know when I was growing up and I saw professionals or black professionals that I aspired to be, they were nurses or they were things. And all of those are noble and great professions. But I did not see other things for myself.
Oh.
And so that is why I am in those spaces. And the organization invites me and allows me to be in those spaces because, again, that's our commitment of how do we not only talk about the talk, but walk the walk and show by example. So, yes.
And that is so true. So this is going to sound absolutely bananas. I don't even know if I ever talked about this. When I graduated from high school, I went to college for nursing. I went to Houston Baptist University for 3 whole years. What a waste of time, because I don't want to wipe my own butt. I knew I didn't want to wipe anybody else's butt. I don't want anybody taking my blood. So I knew I didn't want to take anybody else's blood. What was I doing? But like you said, that is all we saw as young black girls. You're going to either be a nurse or a teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you don't think, I knew I didn't want to deal with any kids at the time, but hey, y'all, but I knew that I wanted to be of service. So nursing was the only other profession I had available. But to your point, I never saw anybody. I might be a banker today, but I never saw anybody in finance.
Right. You would be a good banker because it's all about relationships, solving problems, and helping people get to their goals. So you'd be great.
Oh, girl, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. I just took some money out to petty cash and bought some stuff for my kids. Don't tell me that. The boss is going to be like, now, wait, there's some receipts missing. Who took spent $27 on funnel cakes? I didn't hear anybody talk about funnel cakes. But I'm just so glad that you are spending part of your Saturday here with us. Again, we are live at the Minnesota State Fair at the WCCO radio booth. Come on down, have a seat, hang out with us on the front porch. We are having a great time. If you're on the way here, we would love to have you join us. Steve Thompson is coming up next after my show. So we're going to be here today for a few more hours of live radio programming. And Colette, I'm so grateful for you and your team at Bremer Bank for not only the work that you do in community, but for how you have raised the standard. Because this is the thing. When you all are doing it and other folks see it, they got to raise it up too. You know what I mean? If nobody's doing anything, nobody has to do anything. But if somebody's doing something, then everybody has to do something. You are leading by example, and I appreciate y'all so much for that.
Oh, well, we're really excited to be here, and we're also encouraged by what other people are doing. And it's like you said, it's together, right? And the more that we do together, the more that we can make impact. And Bremer is excited. We're celebrating 80 years, and we're proud of 8 decades of living our purpose. And to mark this occasion, we're donating $10,000 to 8 nonprofits across our footprint, which is Minnesota, Wisconsin, and North Dakota. And donations are going to go to local nonprofits that exemplify our 3 philanthropic pillars, which are economic empowerment, affordable housing, and financial education. So I just want to invite people, if you want to learn more, we're at the grain bin. If you want a free pair of great glasses or seats,
I got mine.
We're there. And if you need to cool off, we've got some portable fans because it's hot out here.
It is hot.
We'll give you a little bit of a breeze.
Well, thank you so much for being here, and I thank you for coming and hanging out with me on the porch. I love y'all, Bremer family. Thank y'all so much
Mitch
for being here.
Mitch and Brittany in the audience. Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks, Shaletta, for inviting us.
All right. Y'all don't go anywhere. We're going to talk about our kids, how hot it is at the fair, and how we can keep them healthy and hydrated when we come back. When I took my kids to Houston, I thought it was going to be for the entire month of June. I dropped them off. There go Floyd and D. Valentine. Sean, go take the kids over to see Floyd and D. Hey, Floyd and D. That's our friends over there. They invited us to the Monitor's Ball. Floyd is a pilot for United. He's flying all over the country. His boys are getting their pilot's license. D is his beautiful trophy wife, just good looking, and baby, that body is banging. That hair is fly. I love them to no end. They're raising 2 amazing boys. Your son's got his own business, the T-shirt shop. What's the name of the T-shirt shop so I can shout him out?
Nonprofit True Kicks.
True Kicks. Drew's Kicks is a nonprofit, so he's not even making all the money. He wants to help and donate and give back. I love it. I have a for-profit company. I want all the money. So he's giving away the money. I just love it. Y'all are just such great people, and I just love y'all. It's so good. Thank y'all for stopping by the booth. But I wanted to look like D. I had lost 18 ounces. I had gone on a diet because my kids were supposed to go to my mama's house for the month of June. I was going to have a hot girl summer like Meg Thee Stallion, okay? And I told the kids, don't even call me mama. Call me Miss Shaletta because my mama is taking care of y'all for the month of June. I don't know y'all. Don't even bring my phone. Don't text me. I'm going to meet strange men and people that I don't know, and I'm going to hang out with them. I'm going to go dancing. I'm going to stay out late. And that lasted for 72 hours because my kids were in Houston, and these little Minnesota munchkins could not deal with that heat. My mama called me 3 days into their trip to Houston, and she said, something is wrong with Daniel. I said, what's going on? She said, well, he's not waking up. It's like, oh, Lord. She said, he's lethargic. He's not talking. He won't hardly respond to me. He doesn't want to eat. And he keeps throwing up. So I hop on a plane in the middle of the night. I get my babies. And first thing in the morning, we go to the pediatrician. Went in to see Dr. Morrissey. He said, Shaletta, it's the heat. Your kids could not take the Houston heat. I said, oh, Dr. Morrissey, he doesn't know what he's talking about. So I went over to Children's. I went to the emergency room in St. Paul. I said, hey, what's going on with my kids? They said, Shaletta, your doctor was absolutely right. It was just the heat. I said, no, the heat is not going to have this type of impact on a child. This boy has been back in Minnesota for 2 or 3 days, and still, he's not hardly talking. He doesn't want to play. He doesn't want to eat. He's throwing up. Something must be wrong. So I went to another doctor. This is the third physician. I didn't tell him I went to 2 other doctors because I didn't want to think I was the crazy lady. He said, Shaletta, it's just the heat. I'm telling that story to tell parents, if you are out here at the fair with your children, it is in the high 90s tomorrow, almost 100 degrees. And that's just plain old temperature. That's not feels like temperature. We want to keep our kids safe. My mama was locking my kids out of the house like she used to do with us when we were kids and letting them play outside for 2 or 3 hours. It was 115 degrees and my kids were crawling inside the house ready to have a heat stroke. And so I said, let me call Dr. Christine Hills with Children's Minnesota and get her on the Shaletta Show on the porch live at the fair, because it is going to be so hot over the next couple of days. And any kid who has not come to the fair is going to want to come tomorrow and Monday, because it's almost time to go back to school. And these are going to be 2 of the hottest days of the summer. Dr. Hills, thank you so much for being here. But you got to tell us, how do we keep our kids safe in this heat? Because I did not realize the danger that my son Daniel was in when I picked him up. I thought it's his asthma medicine, or he's got a virus, or he's got a bug. He had nothing except the heat.
Hi, Shaletta. Thanks so much for having me here today. I've loved this. Look at the crowds. This is fabulous. You're right. It's a hot day out here today. It is humid.
Mm-hmm.
The fair, fortunately, has some ways of keeping us so we can stay a little cooler. You mentioned the misters. Oh,
yes.
I love those misters. You can sit under those. You feel like you're getting a cool shower for quite a while. I like that. The water bottle stations, those have been super popular.
Yeah, we have one here at WCCO Radio.
This one has no line.
Yeah, if you need water, we've got, bring your empty containers. We don't have cups here. Bring your empty receptacles. You can fill up water for free.
And there is no line here. I was just over at the Eco Building, and there is a line longer than the bathrooms to get water, which I appreciate, because everybody needs to stay well hydrated. If you are out here in this heat and you're walking around and you're standing these lines in the sun and you're not staying well hydrated, you're going to start feeling real bad. You're going to start feeling dizzy. You're going to start feeling like you're sweating, and then you're going to feel like you're not sweating, which is actually not a good sign. So you need to take care of yourself. Stay in the cool buildings. Coliseum is a really nice place to be out of the sun and watching some fun cattle shows.
And see, this is the thing I need to ask you is, as a parent, how do you know when your kids are overheated? Because here I am with a degree. Sean got 2 degrees. My mama done raised us, and now she's helping me take care of my kids, I'm thinking, for a month. And she didn't even realize it was the heat. So we don't. How do we know as parents and caregivers when our kids are overheated?
Well, a lot of times the kids, as you notice with your son, they don't act like themselves. They act like they're tired or lethargic. They can look really flushed in the face or look particularly pale in the face. They just don't look well. They don't feel well. You know, usually a kid at the fair is like, Mom, 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 look at this, look at this. I want to go on that ride. I want to play that game. If your kid is just acting like they're not really into it, they might be getting overheated. There's a few buildings on the campus that are air-conditioned. One of them is the sensory building.
Yes.
So if you have a child that's sensitive to noise and sensitive to sound and they need a break, the sensory building is air-conditioned and will give them that space that they need.
Okay, now you have to tell me this because this is something I did not know. This heat impacts your heart. I had no idea. What does one thing have to do with the other?
You know, everything's, you know, it's like that old song, you know, that the knee bone is connected to the thigh bone, etc. You know, when you're overheated, that's putting a strain on your whole body, and that's putting a strain on your lungs, and it's putting a strain on your heart. And we have times occasionally where people will have an entire heat stroke. It's really kind of their brain and their body shutting down. And part of that is the effects on your heart. And so, you know, you got to stay well hydrated. You got to give your body that help.
And as you were talking, I saw Floyd Ballantyne going on over there to that water station. D's like, get us some water. We do not want to overheat. It is here. Water, filtered water right here at the WCCO radio booth. There's no line. Bring your receptacles. We don't have cups. And you can fill up on water so you can stay hydrated. One of the many ways you can make sure you stay healthy in this heat at the fair. Dr. Christine Hills, pediatric cardiologist at Children's Minnesota. Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me here today.
Now, you got to give a shout out to your team because is here. We got to say hey to all of our children's family.
That's my daughter, Nikki. She came in from California.
My daughter, Emma, who lives here.
And her friend, Naya. And a bunch of people from Notre Dame.
What? Woo! Notre Dame? Okay. And this
and more people from Children's.
This handsome guy over here.
Cole.
Hey,
Cole is my handler. Last year, I got to do something like this as well, and he was the guy that kept me calm and kept me in the right place so I didn't get lost.
Well, thank you, Cole, for making sure she got here. I appreciate it. And y'all stick around. I'm talking to Steve Thompson up next. Hey, State Fair people. How y'all doing out there? Looking good. Hey, you. Looking good. U.S. Army veteran, thank you for your service, sir. I love that tie. He wanted to know. Oh, you know what? Go talk to that lady down there with the locks and give her your phone number. I'll make sure to call you later. Okay, because the shows are already booked. But hey, State Fair people, how y'all doing? Whoo, they hot. They trying to cool off. It's so good to see y'all. And it's also good to see my friend Steve Thompson. You are coming up next.
Yes.
I can't wait because last week you had dogs on. What you got planned for us this week?
Well, we got someone else from the DNR coming up a little bit later on. And it is a woman who coordinates wildfire fighting efforts around the state.
Really?
And we all know about wildfires.
Yeah.
The one in Hawaii was terrible tragedy, and the ones out in California. But we do get wildfires here.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to talk to the woman who's involved in that, and she's going to come over from the DNR booth. We got Doug coming up next hour. Steve Carney is going to join us, talk about the great outdoors. Hunting season is getting started in earnest. I'll tell you one thing.
What?
I am glad there's a little cloud cover because if we didn't have the cloud cover, it would be unbearable.
Cover, it would be difficult right now. I was just telling Floyd and Dee Ballantyne, they were here just saying hi, stopping by some of our friends, that I'm so glad. Because if we didn't have this cloud cover with the humidity and the temperatures, we would all be wet from sweat right now.
Yeah. Well, we got out here early.
Yeah.
And I heard you got out here early, and it was really nice this morning. And we were able to hit some of the hot spots. But there's a lot of people out here. Anybody who thought the heat would keep people away?
Oh, no. not going to happen. No. Yeah, I got here, and I have to tell you, Steve, honestly, I think Sweet Martha should teach a class on how to have and run a booth at the fair. Because you never hear about Sweet Martha running out of cookies. The lines are long, but the people get the cookies they want. They come sit down. They have a good time. And I have to say, some of the booths that I've gone to this year, they've not had the product, or they've run out of product, or then they've not had the staff. And, you know, I look at Sweet Martha, and I just marvel she's been able to do. And there was, some, you know, we went to a place this morning to get some donuts, and the line was wrapped around the corner. But the donuts were good, and everybody was talking about them. So, you know, we were going to stand in line, and we didn't move. And so I went up to the booth, and I said, listen, I've got a show to do. Do you know what's going on with the donuts? They said, we don't have enough product for everybody in line. That's
really?
What the owner told me. I'm like, dude, this is the state freaking fair. You are supposed to have enough product because there's a million people coming out here, and you've got to have that. Yeah, you've got to have enough product, especially when people are talking about you. You're one of the most popular booths at the fair. And so people were standing in line just waiting for them to make donuts. And I felt so bad for the people in line. I felt bad for the vendor. I felt bad for the staff because they were just not prepared. I said, Sweet Martha's needs to teach a class and how to booth at the fair, because I tell you what, it's a well-oiled machine for that lady and her team.
It is a machine.
It is.
If you go over there and everybody's on the same page, and out back they take their breaks, and I wonder, there's got to be a number somewhere on how many of those little cookies are baked every year at the fair. It is unbelievable. I will say, people though are really nice.
Yeah.
You know, and we got over to another popular booth, and that is at Hmong Union Kitchen.
Yes.
And that's over on the southeast end in the International Bazaar.
Yeah.
And they have it down pat, because a year ago the lines were out into the street.
Yeah.
And now they've got two lines, and they move you through.
Yeah.
And they've got it figured out there.
Yeah, and maybe it's just growing pains. Maybe being here it is difficult for anybody, because you think, I want to be at the State Fair. I want to sell my stuff. And, you know, you get here and you're like, whoa. This is overwhelming for a vendor. I couldn't even imagine.
Well, and can you imagine Tuesday when you get through it, you get kind of cleaned up, packed up, you get out of here. You must need a week or two off. I talked Taryn out. My daughter was with this morning, and we talked about that for a while. I mean, you just must need a week in a dark room, you know, with the lights off and just air conditioning on
phone or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, just us being out here for two or three hours a couple of times a week. I know when I get home, I'm going to crawl under the table. And I told the kids, don't call me Mama. Call me Miss Shaletta, because I am just going to decompress. And it is just like it's so exciting, and it's so, you know, invigorating, and you're so energized by all the fans and the people and the food and just being at the fair. But then you get home and it's like, whew.
Yeah, it is a lot. And I think that's probably why the fair is only a you know, 12-day run.
Yeah.
That they start on that Thursday and go through Labor Day, and that's it.
And that's it. You can't take any more of that. Otherwise, you'll overdose. I don't know about you, but to get my body and my belly ready for the fair, I go to the county fairs, the smaller ones, like the Strawberry Festival and the Washington County Fair and the Pierce County Fair.
Get warmed up.
Yeah, get warmed up, because you can't just come in the fair cold, not having been here for a year. You got to go in. That's my prep time.
You
got
to build up to it. You got to build up. You got to train.
You got to train your body. Oh, my God. Speaking of training, I'm getting ready to go back to school. It's almost back to school time. See, you don't have to worry about those days anymore. Your daughters are all grown.
No, they're all grown. They got their own thing. They pay their own bills for the most part.
I can't wait for that day. I can't wait for Steve Thompson to come up next. I'm going to be listening to that show. You guys stick around. He's up next.